Coming up on show 9:35, the Ford Mustang Mach-E meets its EPA target range. But does it? It's never clear with these things. I'll tell you more. Plus on the podcast today, a police department bought themselves a Tesla and they really liked it. They're going to get some more. Renault are doubling their EV sales and a major vehicle-to-grid trial to tell you about. Well, good morning, good afternoon or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, show 9:35 today. My name is Martin Lee, going through every EV story so you haven't got to. Well, today Ford announced the US EPA certified range numbers for the variants of the Mustang Mach-E, all but the, I think it's called like the California, in different places it's called different things, but four of the ranges have been confirmed. A reminder, there are two powertrains on the Ford Mustang Mach-E. There is the standard range and extended range. Now, the standard range comes with a 68 kilowatt hour battery. The extended range comes with an 88 kilowatt hour. That's usable. It's almost 100 kilowatt hours gross, by the way, but you get 88 kilowatt hours usable. So a big buffer there. So lots of protection for the battery if you don't know what that's all about. You can't use the battery all the way down to zero, which protects it, and often it means you can't charge it all the way up to real 100%. So when the car says 100%, it's not really there. And that's the way every car maker does it apart from Tesla. So those batteries are coming from LG Chem in Poland. There's a couple of different powertrains for it. It's either all-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive. So you do get the option of pretty much, do you want to go shorts, distance with either all-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive, or the long distance with both of those. Well, Ford has met all of their targeted EPA range ratings for those four variants, and the extended range rear-wheel drive Mustang will do 300 miles. So again, that is the big battery, but only two-wheel drive. And honestly, if Tesla ever sell a Model Y version of that, I would maybe at a Berlin or something for Europe, I'd bite their hand off. I don't need all-wheel drive. We don't have that much inclement weather. I don't need, you know, we get like a 2 days of snow a year. The country grinds to a halt because we can't handle it. So I don't need four-wheel drive. I don't need all-wheel drive. I need range, because range is king, whether you like it or not. But they are. Ford are doing that. So the all-wheel drive, so the rear-wheel drive extended range is 300 miles on the EPA test cycle. And now, you know, EPA is probably the most accurate out there. It's probably closest, I think, to real-world range. But it has anomalies, like the anomalies like the Porsche Taycan, which they reckon will go 200 miles, and it doesn't, it goes 270 miles in real-world testing. So we need to get the Mach-E into those hands of YouTubers and the testers and to see what it really does. So 300 miles is really, really good. The extended range all-wheel drive version goes 270. So what can we compare these cars to? Well, we'll get onto that in just a moment. Let's just finish off talking about the ranges. The standard range rear-wheel drive, so again, small battery, but rear-wheel drive, so more efficient, does 230 miles. And finally, standard range, but all-wheel drive, goes 210. And the thing about 210 miles is, if that is real world, and with EPA, there's no, so, you know, that could, this could, it could be 250 real world, but with 68 kilowatt hours usable, once it gets cold, once you've got the air conditioning on and the heated seats and the heated steering wheel, because it comes fully loaded with tech, it's going to eat through that and definitely not do that range on a really cold day. There is the California version, or California Route 1 Special Edition. That has an EPA range over 300 miles, and that isn't confirmed yet. Customer deliveries, by the way, in the US start before the end of the year. So we've got, 4 weeks to go? So there's going to be some customers, maybe even podcast listeners, that are going to get their Mach-E before the end of the year. That's awesome news. Now, while the range is near the top of its class, it does have a big battery. The Mach-E Premium has an efficiency of 374 watt-hours per mile. That is for the car that I just told you about. But the long-range Tesla Model Y will do 270 watt-hours per mile. So much more efficient. And it has a much smaller battery pack, so it's lighter and cheaper to make. So you can see where battery efficiency is really important here. This is according to Drive Tesla Canada. So look, let's compare the ranges. The closest car we can find is the Tesla long range Model Y. So it's all-wheel drive, it's got the big battery, and EPA reckons 326. EPA reckons Mustang Mach-E, 270. So, does 56 miles matter to you? Well, the Mustang, the Ford Mustang Mach-E, is 54,700. So it's just shy of $55,000, but you do get the federal tax credit. You probably, if you're paying this much for a car, you probably do apply, qualify for that. So that brings it down to 47,000 and change. So this car is 47, the Tesla is 50. So the Mustang Mach-E, because of the tax credit, is £3,000 cheaper. So the 0 to 60, identical, 4.8 seconds for both of them. 56 miles difference, $3,000 difference. Do buyers care? Are they talking about looks more? Looks are subjective. Brand loyalty may come into it. Lots of people, I mean, Tesla fans, close your ears. Lots of people don't like the design of the Model 3, Model Y. It's subjective. It's just a fact. Lots of people don't like the inside. Like, I like the minimalistness. Not a word. Of Tesla's design language. But lots of people don't. They want a few knobs and switches and buttons, more than just what you get on the steering wheel. So this is not a case of just buying a car on specs. We buy cars with our hearts, not our heads. And so what do you think about that? Does the range difference matter? Let me confuse things a little more now. Because there's 50,000 being made in the first full year of production. 30,000 of those are coming to Europe. Just to confuse things a bit more, here, the WLTP test cycle, which is different to EPA, it's got some more city driving, less long range, less high-speed driving, makes the Mustang Mach-E better. So it's not 270 miles here. We've already got our WLTP ratings through. It's 335. And if you think, well, WLTP is just everything up from EPA, like take and add some, well, the Model Y is 313. So it's not the case. It's different cars being tuned differently. Their software working at different speeds according to the weights of the car. I don't know which is a heavier car. I presume the Ford. I presume the Ford. Bigger battery. I'm guessing the Mustang is a heavier car. I don't know. I'll look it up. But it goes further in Europe. Of course, it's the same car. So we need to get them in the hands of real-world drivers at different temperatures and just see, because it's not as simple a case of just giving someone the gold medal on this. So yeah, over here, WLTP 335 for the equivalent Mustang Mach-E, 313 for the Tesla Model Y all-wheel drive long range. But the price is crazy here. It's £57,000. Oh my goodness. That's a lot of money for that car. For that, you're heading into Model Y performance territory. Oh, don't get me started. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about Tesla. Police in Fremont have released the details and results of a pilot program involving their first Tesla added to their police force fleet, saying the EV can withstand the rigors of daily police use and requires less maintenance. According to CBS San Francisco, they say that the 2014 Model S, they got a Model S 85, was built at the Fremont factory just down the road from the police department themselves, and they bought it used. Over a year, police said the cost of charging the Tesla was significantly lower, of course you and I would know that, than the cost of filling up the standard Ford police vehicles. The energy they put in, they cost to put the electric into the Tesla was $1,036. And the average cost of filling up one of their combustion cars is over $5,000. Repair costs were higher for the Tesla, but police said that the downtime of the EV was nearly 4 weeks shorter than servicing and downtime on their gas-powered vehicles. The department believes the Tesla's reduced maintenance will result in a lifespan of longer than 5 years expected for patrol vehicles. Police in Fremont also said that the range was fine. The range is 265 miles on their Model S, and that easily accommodates the 40 to 70 that their average vehicles do. This is another perception thing. We always talk about that. I mean, just the whole first 5 minutes of the podcast was on range and how much do you need, and people go, oh, I need 1,000 miles of range. look, here's a car that is working every single day, needs 40 to 70 miles of range to be a police patrol vehicle. Got a quote here from the police captain, Sean Washington, said, and I quote, after careful review, the pilot program was determined a success. The police patrol electric vehicle met the needs of the police services. The final results from 1 year of the electric patrol vehicle pilot program have been encouraging as the city of Fremont continues to look for cost-effective ways to help make Fremont more sustainable, end quote. Look, I've got to say, I know you spent more in servicing, $4,865 in repair costs. You bought a six-year-old Tesla. You bought a 2014 Model S. They'd barely worked out how to put their shoes on the right foot in 2014, of course. Joking, only half, slightly. I would not buy a 2014 Tesla in a million years. Lots of people do and have no problems whatsoever. But if I was voting with my own money, it wouldn't go anywhere near it. The cars they make in 2015, a world of difference. In 16, a world of difference. Like, they were literally learning so much every day they were building cars. Even now, like, even now, there is, and I do this every day, and I know that how amazing Tesla is. I would have to have a question mark over spending my own money on a Tesla, because it seems like potluck. Some of them put together absolutely perfectly. You still get those reports that hit Reddit and YouTube videos of just horror stories of it went back and it went back and it went back and, you know, just to get fixed. So, you know, they're definitely getting better. Wow. So I would say that might be a reason. If I was properly going to say that police forces should embrace EVs, they should have leased one or should have just got one, like a brand new one off the factory. Night and day, literally 6 years apart. Like the Model S now, it might look so. This was pre-facelift, of course. Just so different. Anyway, good luck to the team. I'm glad to see the police in Tesla's home county are loving their EV. Let's talk about range of the Model S. Tesla have only gone and increased the range of the Model S again. This time, it's the long-range version, and it's a new record high, again taking the lead in its weird sort of non-battle with Lucid that Lucid don't seem to want to engage with, but Elon seems to want to pick a fight with Lucy. What with the price drop to $69,420 as well? Anyway, according to Electrek, earlier this year, Tesla managed to increase the range of the Model S to 402 miles for the long-range version, a new record for EVs. A few months later, Lucid unveiled the base version of their Air electric car with 406 miles. Won't be on sale for another year or so. And now, Tesla seems to have increased the Model S range again. Well, sort of. It's not on the website and it's not EPA. This was a Monroney sticker, which, you know, is new to me because we don't have them here, but the sticker on the window shows the EPA range of the car, and that says 409. Okay, so 402 to 409 is no great shakes. You're not going to exactly go, well, look, let's not stop at this supercharger because we'll make it all the way to the next one with the extra 7 miles of range. But range is king. When it gets cold, your cars, or when you're towing, all those things. Look, just range is king. Efficiency is king. And so well done to Tesla. Just keep knocking it out of the park. 409. Keep an eye on the website and see when they update the official figures. Let's go to Europe, and Renault is posting outstanding sales results with their all-electric cars in October, once again in five digits. The all-electric car sales amounted to 11,500 in the month of October. Third best ever results is inside EVs. Here in Europe, on which falls 11,205 sales, pure battery electric vehicles stand for 11% of the total Renault volume, which is brilliant. Year-to-date results of pure battery electric Renaults, 84,250. Of course, the Renault Zoe drives nearly all of the bulk of that. They've got some other little EV models and stuff, but it's all Renault Zoe, basically. So, Zoe sales are stable at over 10,000 every month. Year-to-date results are 76,000. In a COVID year, that's brilliant. And it could well reach 100,000. It would require 12,000 Zoes for the last 2 months of the year, but that could be done. As you know, I drive one myself. I'm a big fan of the Zoe. It does everything. You know, it's a 41 kilowatt hour battery, and I've got the old one. And 200 miles of range. This time of year, it's a bit nippy. It's down to about 180 miles of range. But just so good, so cheap, so affordable for us. Like, there is no other EV that we... There's no other new EV that we could buy. Because we don't lease it or rent it or... So we bought that one, which is rare for us. And we're very lucky, obviously, to be able to do that. But there's nothing else on the market that can do what that does. And it's battery lease. So again, if it wasn't battery lease, we couldn't have afforded it. We'd be getting finance like, you know, we've always done before. So just amazing. Congratulations to the team at Renault. Vehicle-to-grid trials are next in the news. Vehicle-to-grid trials have been going on for years, and a new one in the UK goes to new levels and might be the trial that helps vehicle-to-grid technology break through. There's been lots of these small-scale trials over the years, and this is limited to Nissan EV drivers once again because of the bi-directional CHAdeMO plug on the front of it, says Zach at Clean Technica. So trial participants receive a free installation of the EV smart charger. They're still worth $5,500. They're so expensive to put in bi-directional chargers. The trial is a year. The participants will earn £120 a month from next March to the following March. The CrowdCharge platform is going to be used to help Nissan owners charge up when electricity is the cheapest and send electricity into the grid when there's high demand for electricity, and the EV owners can make some money off of energy trading. That's great news. It's all part of the trials that we've talked about many times on this podcast. It's finally getting going. But one of the things that I think is interesting is whilst that is vehicle to grid, and that is super interesting because the Leaf is very popular, CHAdeMO is bi-directional. You know, one of the things that gets reported on, obviously I reported it on the podcast, but then without a need to come back to it every day, there's no need for me to talk about it every day, and that's Tesla. And they have a electricity tariff here with Octopus, whereas if you have, you don't have to be a Tesla owner, but if you're a Powerwall owner, they're doing that already on this new tariff. Now, if anyone listening is signed up to that, drop me a note if you want, you know, and I'd love to learn from you in terms of how that's working. So you've got a Powerwall. If you've got PV as well, I think it helps. You've got a Tesla, you get a better rate. I think you buy at 8p and sell at 8p per kilowatt hour. And they use their software platform to make sure that your Powerwall, which is obviously a much, much smaller battery than a Nissan Leaf, is charged up when the grid is cheap. And then they sell it back at a profit when the grid is expensive and more often dirty as well. Talking of dirty, are plug-in hybrids clean or not? Oh my goodness me, I'm opening a can of worms here. Plug-in hybrids emit more CO2 than they advertise, according to tests commissioned by the European Group Transport and Environment, TNE, which on Monday issued a new report. I've seen similar reports to this, calling on governments in Europe to end subsidies and tax breaks and incentives for plug-in hybrid models. Tests were conducted by Emissions Analytics, and they tested the BMW X5, the Volvo XC60, and the Mitsubishi Outlander, most popular plug-in hybrid in this country, and found that even under the optimal lab conditions, were emitting far more CO2 than was advertised. According to Autoblog, TNE's announcement came just days after the proposed European Union rules were released, laying out tight emissions limits for car makers to hit for their activities to be classed as sustainable. Under those rules, plug-in hybrids lose their green label. So plug-in hybrids no longer green, according to Europe at least, from 2026. Plug-in hybrids are a halfway house between combustion cars and EVs, combining a small engine and a small electric motor and battery. I don't know how I feel about this story. There's so many good reasons to buy an electric car, a plug-in electric car, a hybrid. Goodness me, these terms. A plug-in hybrid this decade. Now, we don't need to. The technology is there. Like, technology for full EVs is there now. This isn't a technical issue we're trying to solve with plug-in hybrids. It's a behavioural issue. Now, Julia Poliskonova is TNE's Senior Director for Clean Vehicles, said, and I quote, "Plug-in hybrids are fake electric cars built for lab tests and tax breaks, not real driving. Governments should stop subsidising these cars with billions in taxpayers' money." End quote. So pretty hardcore smackdown there to plug-in hybrids. We don't need them. We don't need them technically. Like, full EVs are there now. But the buying public isn't. And again, if you are hardcore into this EV world, and you know, I certainly am, and if you are wondering why would anybody need to buy a plug-in hybrid, it's just not the real world that so many people are living in. Just so many questions around living with an EV that lots of people just feel more comfortable having that petrol engine like they've always had as a backup. Now, my great hope is people with plug-in hybrids charge them every night. Because if they don't, it's pointless because you're carrying around a battery that's not charged. If you plug them in every night and if you do most of your miles on electric, my great hope is that they will go and tell five people how amazing it is that their car is on electric. There's upsides and downsides. The debate rumbles on. I'm so 50-50. Like, my head says we don't need them. My heart says we do. Or maybe it's the other way around. But either way, intellectually, like, I get that they're dirty and stinky and have a big engine in. And I don't want to burn stuff. I just think there's lots of people not where you and I are. Anyway, let me know your thoughts. I could easily be swayed with a good argument. Right, final story. It's time to adapt or die. And by dying, I mean taking the money and running. According to Cadillac dealers, who aren't sold on their parent company, GM, and their commitment to move to an all-electric future. According to a new report by Automotive News today, GM won't force any Cadillac dealers' hands to sell EVs. Instead, they'll give them $500,000 and tell them to go away. According to CNET, buyouts are not common in the auto industry, but this one comes with a massive transformation for GM. And Cadillac as well. Now, GM is steadfast in its commitment to transition to EVs. Meanwhile, Cadillac could well be an EV-only brand by the end of the decade. The first car's the Lyriq, and it comes in early 2022. So, if Cadillac dealers believe the message of GM, they'll have to spend money on investing in improvements and changing their dealerships. About $200,000 investment. If they're not convinced, they can take the $500,000 and walk away. So that's interesting. It's going to cost GM a bit of money. I think there'll be some Cadillac dealers that don't sell many cars. Probably quite a few of them that don't sell many cars. And that $500,000 is more than they would have made selling Cadillacs in years. So take it, go, right? But there'll be those that do want to move into an electric future and we'll stay with them. We'll wait and see how many take that offer. But it's just another highlight of the challenges facing what's, you know, for better or worse, we call legacy automakers. I do think it's a slightly disparaging comment, but what we call those legacy car makers, in that, you know, being a startup is there's no question, being a startup is hell. But it's not easy for the established players. In fact, arguably harder in some ways, like having these dealership networks where some of them want to sell EVs and some of them don't. And yeah, it could be an expensive exercise for GM. And that's your show for today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for all your feedback. And it continues to come in. Thank you very much. The YouTube video of this, when I get round to recording it, is now a proper video, as you've been asking for. It just takes me a really, really long time to do it. But maybe I'll get some help. That'd be nice. Phil Roberts of Electric Future is our premium partner on Patreon. And that is how, if I do end up getting some help in to make these videos, because I'm not very good at making the videos. It's Patreon that'll pay for it. And Brad Crosby, premium partner, Avid Technology. Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati. Audi of Cincinnati East. Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com. Derek Riley and his EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. And Richard at rsimons.co.uk, the electric vehicle specialist, got himself a Model 3 just fresh off the boats. And he's going to make some videos. I'll be reposting them, comparing and contrasting. He's got the new Model 3 refresh, what is not called the 2021 model year. Really excited. He's about 5 minutes away from me, so I'm going to go and see it. Thank you very much for listening today. I'll catch you tomorrow. Oh, you know, do remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.